Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And all you have to do, and I'll just tease you with this, is have enough confidence to say, I'm going to work out shirtless. And then see the way your wife responds to you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So you were on her Peloton?
I was on her Peloton.
More like Peloton, am I right?
Peloton.
Have you ever wanted to sit down to enjoy a meal with your cat? Steve? Bridges?
Mike never shares these with us.
It's true. I was excited.
It's true.
He texted the entire team. I said, we have our own Matsuyama.
That was Saturday, so
yes,
you were actually foretelling the
yes.
champion, even though he was leading, but that was nice to do that. So
was
it
the exciting part
deal.
After the win when they took you down to the cabin and gave you the green pair of compression socks?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. I still haven't perfected
excuse
it.
Excuse you.
Did Jack Vale call you over the weekend?
He did not, but I did contact him.
What does that mean? You mean you sent him an email?
Ominous. Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you contacted him. When you send him an email, it doesn't mean
you reached out.
Contact you.
With no return.
Yeah. Just let him know the door is open.
What did you do? What did you do to really put him off?
I can't wait.
What did you do to really piss him off? What did you do?
I mean, remember, it wasn't me. We had him.
And then we had a technical issue, but he really got pissed off at that, obviously.
Well, I think I still read him as just a busy guy. He's got a lot of things going on.
I'm a busy guy. Everybody's a busy guy.
Let's not start the week like this.
Well, no, but don't be so passive, for Christ's sake. Come on.
It's a new week.
I want to get him on the show.
I do, too. I do, too.
I'm not going to... I hate to show... I love to
tell him we're launching our own sound effects machine.
Maybe we should make one.
Yeah.
How simple is this?
Oh, my God.
With a hole in it.
Yeah.
Maybe a little better grade of rubber.
A softer rubber.
Brazilian rubber.
There's no patent on this. Why not? Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Deer Park, Washington, Columbia, Missouri, Fishers, Indiana, Stratton, Vermont, Beatrice, Nebraska... We're Beatrice and Darkhan, Mongolia.
I liked Beatrice, Nebraska because I thought of a sportscaster.
Oh, Ken Beatrice, the late great.
Yes.
Hello there, Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. It's Ken Beatrice. How old are you, Jimmy? Oh, it's great. Listen, I eat the roast beef sandwich at Arby's. And Will Street is Arby's restaurants. He treats his employees with a great deal of care. And they pass that on to you, the customer. Welcome to the show.
Are you wearing a trench coat, Ken?
Yes, fascinating guy.
He was.
For those of you outside of the D.C. area, our apologies for something inside that you might not know about at all. He was a legendary broadcaster on WBL, AM 630 in Washington, D.C. And he was one of the original. There were multiple sports talk guys on talk stations around the country. They would primarily be on the air at night.
Yes.
And then look what happened. An entire industry was born with sports talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ken was one of the originals, one of the guys. And he had at his fingertips, back in the day with no internet, he had books and books and books of trivia. And he knew all these facts. And it sounded, because he was so skillful at getting information, bringing information up, that it sounded like he was doing it off the top of his head. He was not.
No.
He was going through encyclopedias of sports trivia.
Almanacs.
And almanacs of statistics that he would bring up at a moment's notice. He was great at that. And it would sound like, well, I remember in 1974, he had 4 touchdowns in one game. And
meanwhile, if the table had been knifed, you would hear...
I think so. And I think maybe there was some that was up there the time.
Or he could have gotten some stuff wrong and no one ever called him
on. I do think he was accused of making some stuff up occasionally. I think
was he really?
I think so. But you know what? In the name of show business, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just filling the time.
Fact check.
Right.
Fun guy. Speaking of sports, I've got a lot of golf to talk. That's going to really make people excited. Right now, there are a lot of people. Oh, great. Click. No, hear me out here because it's interesting and I think you'll enjoy it. Because I love golf. You know I love golf. It's the sport, the only sport that my failing body can really do right now. And people say, no, you can do any sport, Mike, if you just got yourself in better shape. Well, lick my Irish bag. I'm not prepared to do that right now.
How long since you've played rugby?
I never played rugby.
Oh,
I was recruited for rugby. I was always recruited for like different club football teams.
I see you and say, oh my God, I wish we had a guy like O'Mara. He could really wreck shop. And then you're like, I'd rather go to the dining hall. I'm good to go.
I love the mentality of the rugby players where they would get up on a table and drop their trousers and sing loudly rugby songs.
You have the size, though, Mike. You have the size to compete.
I have the type of body, apparently, that would have been good in college.
Yes.
Back in college for rugby. I was recruited to be an oarsman at Marist College, but not really recruited. It was a friend of the family who said I could be an oarsman because he knew I was an athlete. I could do that. I was not a good athlete, but I was a letterman. I was a David Letterman. I was a letterman. So, yeah.
You know, I lettered in theater.
I know you did. I know. You would have been, if with the right weight program and the right exercise program, you would have been probably an amazing defensive lineman.
You could have done at least 3 years in the league.
Theater needs fat people too.
But I mean, you were not just fat; you were big.
Yes, I was big.
Yeah. You were a big guy, and you could have really, been intimidating.
Yeah.
But it wasn't your path.
No,
it wasn't what you chose. You chose.
People would pick me almost last, and they'd be like, "Oh my God, that guy's actually athletic. He's fast."
Yeah. You're a great soccer player, right?
Yes,
you played a lot of soccer in your day.
You know what I heard a few times in gym class when I was required to take gym class and they'd be picking up teams, it would get close to the end and I'd still be unchosen, undrafted. and they'd say, well, get Spiewak, at least he's funny.
And this was for kickball.
Yeah, it was.
So it's what I do, and I always love to share fun thing. So I'm on the golf course last week. I don't know what day it was. They all run together down here as we're all, somebody came up with a new name. Well, they gave me a new name for where I play golf. And then I tweaked it and came up with Hospice National, where I'm, so I'm over. That's terrible. Not funny. But anywho, so I'm out there.
That is inconceivably dark.
That is very dark.
Yes, it is.
But anywho, I won't say it again, I think, based on the way that reaction.
And we won't name the show that today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please don't. Yeah, just let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. Let's bury that.
I said I never ate pizza out of the garbage.
We don't need to talk about what I said inappropriately. So, last week, Mrs. O'Mara and I got a piece of good news about our son, who we love very much and who is a very special lad. And you've gotten to see a little bit of him on the show, and I think you probably know that. He's a great kid, and he's fun to be around. A while back, the teachers said that he's a pretty skilled little guy in the classroom as well. His academics, the performance is really good. We get a reading analysis done of him, and we are told that my first grader is reading at or slightly be above a fourth grade level.
Wow.
And I was pretty thrilled about that. It's pretty darn exciting to get that and to get that word on your kid. I said this to one of the golfers who was out there, and without missing a beat, this guy said, well, now you have something in common. Which
that
I
is
thought
funny.
Was
that is funny.
That was so funny that I brought it to the show on Monday. That was a funny, funny line. So he's doing really, really well. And I'm excited about that. And I think that we have to kind of pay attention to this to make sure that we are putting him in the right situations, because he is he's at the head of his class.
Yeah,
in these areas, he's also very good at mathematics.
Does he like to read though?
He loves to read.
Okay, yeah. Great.
He loves to read. He's like all kids. He's got his nose in those screens all the time, but he likes to read as well. And he finished a fourth grade level book, and it was kind of cool. And so I gave him another. I gave him the big book to read. It by Stephen King.
Oh.
And no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He knows who he's fascinated with.
Pennywise. Yeah. He's not scared of Pennywise.
Well, he doesn't know who Pennywise the real movie, but he knows of Pennywise. That Pennywise is scary. And I was doing my impression of Pennywise in the car when we were waiting for the bus. And it's not very good, but I was doing the new one. You know.
Yeah.
Hello, Michael.
Oh, would you like to come down and play with me? Would you like to come down into the sewer?
Anyway, it was
everything
just weird.
Floats down there. Yes. I think it was for Christmas or his birthday. I got him some Hardy Boys books, and I remember in fourth grade I was
they're
into
in
the
his room.
Hardy
they're
Boys.
In his room, and they're waiting to be devoured.
You may want to start him. I think the Tower Treasure is the first one, and I think if he's at a fourth grade level, that might be just about right with just enough intrigue. And you know, they're not scary, but there's mystery involved. I think he might really dig them.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I did.
That's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
So not to be all sports, but I do play golf and I do watch the Masters, and it's the Super Bowl of golf. And congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama, who was the big winner. And he will now, from what I understand and everything I heard about it, he will now be a god in his home country of Japan. Not only as the first winner of a major from Japan. I believe he's the first winner of a major, but he will be
certainly the first Masters winner.
And really the competition wilted yesterday. They kind of fell by the wayside, and it was fun to see this guy. Although I think even with a Japanese player, you want more emotion. You know, I wanted to see the kind of emotion. What is the tape we played on the old Don and Mike show years ago where someone had fallen out of favor and was begging for mercy, you know, and it was just going, I wanted to see that kind of reaction, which we didn't get. But you can't. These guys have to have ice water in their veins because they have to be so under control. The pressure of performing that task at that level in that situation is extraordinarily difficult. Like, probably not rising to the level of hitting a baseball, which I'm told is the most difficult athletic activity in sports, but still to hit it where you need to hit it perfectly. Control your breathing, control your calm to do, because playing golf is difficult. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say to people.
I thought the response to his initial, I guess, adulation or celebration for the moment was muted, but it also comes with the culture. And with that culture, there are beautiful sides of the culture. And right after, and I missed it live, I saw it after the fact online, the response that his caddy, a friend of his, and his caddy had when he went to go put back the pin at the 18th hole, mm-hmm. and the way he bowed to the actual course in honor after he put the pin back.
Wow.
Was beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Rob, did you log any time with it yesterday?
I had it on, you know, on in the background for most of the day. It is, you know, there was the little fluctuation where the leads were, it looked like it might shift, and that was okay. There wasn't any drama. The color is, it is the prettiest broadcast on television every year. But still, I'm not sure Jim Nance was prepared 100% to deal with a Japanese champion, because his verbiage at the end sounded a trifle dated.
What did he say?
Anyway, he said, "A wonderful day for the people in the land of the rising sun." And to me, that sounded a little World War II.
That sounds like World War II.
Yeah. I think his references.
I didn't mind it as much.
I'm Jim Nance, and I say, Torah, Torah, Torah.
The world has awoken a sleeping giant in Augusta, Georgia.
That is just, okay, probably
it didn't sit right
probably
with me.
Socially acceptable. And if I know Jim Nance, run up the flag.
Of course.
With the execs with that. I mean, he prepares for this.
Well,
he goes ahead.
I'm sure he had 15 monologues ready to go with the drone montage that they ran right before 60 Minutes. But it just, to me, it didn't land quite right.
The drones were
not allowed at Augusta.
Well, I'm sure this was a pre-recorded drone thing.
And they got their money's worth out of the drone footage with those treetop shots that were astounding. I loved every second of it. I did not like this year's competition because there wasn't any. Yeah. So it's really, it's great to see a new guy win. It's great to see a guy that's got the country on his shoulders, Japan. And but really, as far as the thrill, and I think when you're an American, you want an American to win. I mean, you really do.
But they did a great job. They did a great job. One thing they did is they kept saying it's now 8 a.m. in Japan and the country is going. And, you know, and they really did sort of paint the image of the fact that this is a man really playing an away game. And his
if you're Japanese, you could get up at 5 a.m. and watch the tournament.
Yes.
The final round. But oh, that's so great. But I mean, that would have been a big
deal. That was a neat image that they painted.
They played on the Masters broadcast. They played the audio version of the call in Japanese.
Yeah, I heard
the
win. That was cool.
Which is wonderful. Yeah. And who's that skinny F, the Zoolander of the world that just came out of nowhere, blonde hair?
That's Will Zalatoris.
Yeah.
Or Zalatori.
Somebody gave him a protein bar.
I don't think
bar.
It's Zalatoris. I think it's Zalatori. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way, because if you pronounce it like Zalatoris, what rhymes with Zalatoris? His game has been right on the button weekend. Yes, sir.
Just like his waistline.
By the way, Zalatoris also has horrible side effects. If you haven't,
he's rowing his own boat this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he's the man in the boat this weekend.
The camera can't find him, Mike.
All right, let me tell you about Skinny. Will Zalatori.
Yeah.
And will somebody tell me, find out? No, you're not going to be able to find out on this show. But I thought it I heard Zalatori towards the
end. I couldn't pronounce it. And I watched two of the whole days. And I was like, who is this guy? It looks like Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
Well, who is he?
Look, you know what? They're so, with the telecast, involved with, I want to say this without getting bleeped or having them have to edit. They're so involved with the hype machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That they lose sight sometimes of just giving us some facts, just giving us enough facts. It's the storyline. And, you know, this is a special play. I don't need to be reminded every 3 seconds of how special the Whitey McWhite again course is for all of this. And, you know, and by the way, bringing Lee Elder out after 1,000 years, you know, before he dies, doesn't necessarily erase some of the history of that place. With that said, I think it's a move in the right direction. I think it's terrific. But back in the day, that place was restricted. Mm-hmm. And that's a nasty word. That's a nasty word for that. But I was glad to see that they did that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, enough of filleting yourself with the idea of doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Long overdue. It's 2021. And they're like, and what a day it was. Goosebumps, you know. And I just, okay. Yeah. It's a great tournament. If you go to it, my listeners sent me. I had tears in my eyes because the listeners sent me there. All I think about is going back and going because it's that much fun and people are made to behave. That's the best part. You can't be an a-hole there. You cannot be an a-hole. You can't even bring your cell phone in there. It's so cool to be part of that where it's all about the athletic competition. With that said, I would have liked, at least from the broadcasters, to have a little more spewing out info and a little less gushing.
It wasn't just special.
That's the way it would have.
Because they just had one. So it probably felt like, man, we're doing two this year.
I think they'll do two again.
I can't believe we're doing two this year.
I think they're going to go to two a year now. Because it's working out.
Rob, what's our running time? Because my thing's not working.
We're at 17 and a half right now.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me know when we get to 20.
Okay.
And then I'll start my clock. That's the way I'll do it.
Another observation.
Yes.
This is the first year where I actually felt comfortable watching and understanding what was happening.
Why?
Where when you see -4, -5, I'm like, in the past, I didn't care enough to even understand the game where I was like, oh, I wonder what they're doing. I realized that the purse is not as big as I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the purse was like $10 million.
What is the purse? I don't even know what the purse is.
Like 2.1.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they keep the, you know, the costs in certain areas.
The overall pool was 10 plus, maybe $11 million. but right. the winner gets $2 million. I always
How come
felt
we
like
fixed his audio before the show and it still sounds like caca?
I haven't done anything to it. The only one running the board is Rod.
I think it's a little hot. Try. I think we can fix it now.
Okay.
All right.
So my assumption was that they were getting at least $10 to $15 million for winning this championship. And no, they only make $2 million. Not to say Oscar, $2 million.
Heard yesterday $2 million. That Hideki Matsuyama, being the first Japanese winner of a major in the United States, will become very certainly a not million billionaire
based on this victory.
Based on the victory that he will not. They talked about Japanese players that he have won in the United States. That has made a career for them.
These are the perks, as I read up on it, Mike, to learn more years later, a decade later about the Masters, to understand, to be able to have this conversation with you, is that you get invited back to all the Masters.
Like yes.
You get to come back. And then I guess the most prized, rarefied air is you get invited as an honorary member.
Mm-hmm.
To Augusta?
Which is a big deal.
It's a very big deal. A very, very big deal.
And the jacket is worth at least $80.
All right, you. That's.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I need to step in here, Mike. We're going to be 20 minutes at the mark. All right.
Okay.
20 minutes at the mark, and go.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's very, very, very kind of you. So it was special, and have to share this with you. Not the only champion crowned this weekend.
What? Really?
There's another champion?
You're looking at the Cocoonville Hospice National.
Stop it!
I'm sorry. The
Let's bury that.
Winner. The winner of the tournament this weekend that I entered on Saturday. The Cocoonville Shootout.
Mm. How many players in the field?
Try to contain your enthusiasm.
I thought there was
going to
be more. I thought you were going to say polite. More.
Well, there's no more. It was a shootout.
Woo!
And you get the, you register, and they take the 20 lowest handicaps.
Yes.
So some of the best players at the joint, and you play with a randomly drawn teammate, and then you play alternate shot for 9 holes.
How is alternate shot work? Does that mean you hit where his ball landed?
So he tees off, I hit. I hit, he hits, or putts.
Okay.
He putts, I putt. And then the A player tees off on the even number holes, the odd number holes, and the B player, myself, tees off on the even numbered holes. And I am here to say, so the way it works is that on each hole, you have 10 teams, 20 guys.
Yeah.
45 minutes to play the first hole because you eliminate a team per hole. Until it gets down to you and another team.
That is quite tense.
Yes, it was.
Ice water. Ice
water
in the veins.
So you might ask yourself, who performs well under pressure? Yes. I have never gushed about winning a golf tournament on this show.
You saw what I wrote. Mike, yes. Mike never shares these with us.
It's true.
I was excited.
It's true.
He texted the entire team. I wrote back first, I'm proud to say. I said, we have our own Matsuyama.
Exactly.
And in a way, that was Saturday, so
yes,
you were actually foretelling the champion, even though he was leading, but that was nice to do that. So
was
it
was the exciting
a big
part
deal.
After the win when they took you down to the cabin and gave you the green pair of compression socks?
These will help you walk.
Here are the green compression socks. Rob, that's damn fine right there. The green compression socks with the yellow flag on them. It really, really, really
And of course, a lifetime membership and a drawer to keep them in.
Right.
At Hospice Cabin.
So the way it works is there were a smattering of people. We had a gallery. We had people that actually came out and watched
really?
This because it
Patrons.
Is the better players at the institution that's where I play golf, and they came out and watched. And the crowd was probably, I want to say, 30 or 40 by the end of the little gathering. And at the
was
end,
was there polite golf applause and cheering and all that
yes,
stuff?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, that's
great. Was, and we were introduced as well, which was fun. Really not a lot of people around at that moment, maybe 3 or 4 couples that were out there watching this. But at the end of the day, everybody kind of gathered around in the back, and it was up to me to hit the last real shot. shot, not the putt, but the last shot,
right,
to do that. And I flushed it, as we say in the golf business, and
so negative,
put it 20 feet to 20 feet to the right of the. Yeah, you're not flushing anything down the toilet.
No.
Ah, you are flushing it, and I was just to the right of the pin. My partner nestled it down, and we tapped it in to win the championship. There is a picture of me with my big grin, my fat man grin. I was a little sloppy looking, to be honest with you. I really was wearing a golf shirt that maybe was a half size too large.
The W is the most important.
That's what counts.
That's the most important thing. But when I looked at that, I said, oh my God, half of that shirt is like hanging out. It's untucked. You know, I want to look like, you know what I want to look like?
Yes.
I fantasize. What would it be like to be Will Zalatori? What would it be, or Zalatoris?
Isn't Matsuyama a little, like, he's a little chubby?
He's got a little yeah, meat on his bones.
Yeah.
But Will Zalatoris has, in order, skinny hair, skinny forehead, skinny nose, skinny mouth, skinny lips, skinny arms, skinny chest, skinny waist, skinny thighs, skinny legs down to the bottom, skinny feet. He is skinny.
He's
everything
skinny
about him is skinny.
Who's our last notable thick golfer?
Shane Lowry.
Shane Lowry? Yeah. Okay.
Shane Lowry is... Shane Lowry, hold on a second. Rob, you asked a good question today. Rob came to play today, too. Shane Lowry. Yeah. Oh, I wish this could work. That's why I have to get Jack Vale to teach me. It's all I want him on the show for, is to teach me how to do this. I don't want to hear about his life. Or
Phil Mickelson was thick for a while, but then he swapped out being thick for being greasy. What's with his hair?
Well, he's always had that kind of
look. I don't care for that look.
He wears those cool shades.
He's used to the dry heat. He's from Arizona.
Yeah, sure.
So it was really cool because the guy I played with was a former champion.
You liked him okay? It was fun to be with?
We've known each other for a while, and it was just, but you know, you get who you get. That's
right.
The way it is. He's a great, amazing golfer, really.
Was the family out there?
No, the family was not, because we had a babysitter on a Saturday coming at 4 o'clock, and I hopped into this guy's golf cart, being fully vaccinated, and he was fully vaccinated, and we rode in the cart together, something we have not done
for over
a year. Not holding hands. Thank you. And we ventured out, and we had a dinner reservation for 5:15, and unfortunately, I finished this thing at 5:47. After the competition, my competition was to drive 20 minutes down the road and try to get there within the hour, which I failed at. But it was a special night. Mm. I mean, I have difficulty tooting
my own
horn.
Did the restaurant turn you away?
No, they were there. You know, my wife and her friend were down there, that was it. You know, and he's a nice guy. No,
would have been nice if you.
He's
went
so generous.
To wait,
he's your aerobics instructor, they were there in the back corner of the restaurant. I couldn't find them, and then I saw them, and they were embraced. It was
because Carl upset that you're late for dinner again.
No, I even had a drink. I even had an old fashioned.
What? Old-fashioned. That's not your drink.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
The best I've ever had.
And what was the base liquor did they use? What base liquor did they use?
Whistle Pig.
Oh,
rye whiskey. Big win.
Oh,
big
win. Wow. Yeah.
Mike, let me ask you this.
Yes.
And I have this, and I'm not saying you're me, but we don't have that many friends. Mm-hmm. And when you do something special,
yes,
all you want to do is tell your friends.
Yeah.
You want to scream, and my parents are dead, and I can't tell mommy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a terrible relationship with your family, so you're not going to call them. How long?
Well, it's not that I have a terrible relationship, but they're not into golf. They don't care.
How long did you text us?
Well, Kathy didn't pick up again.
All right.
How far down the depth chart were we that you texted us?
When you got to us.
Really quick. You guys are my only friends.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, if Carla wasn't there,
I have the same problem. I have no one to call.
Mm-hmm. No. You must have notified Carla before us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Carla doesn't care. Carla's like, finally, you won.
Yeah.
All these years later, you won something.
Mm-hmm.
But your friends.
Trying to figure out the times of the shows.
We're the friends.
Right now.
We're at 28 now.
We're 28, Mike.
Oh, we are? Oh, yeah. We have to break. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. You know what? It was nice to let you know, and I'm gloating a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm
you should gloat. That's excellent.
Good news about my son, and I had good news about this tournament, and I'm moving to Japan.
to be a billionaire.
Yes. Yes,
for
I am.
Your endorsements? Yeah.
The land of the rising sun. I'm Jim Nantz.
No one saw this sneak attack of a win coming.
Oh, now, Rob,
these are things that CBS didn't want him to say.
You had to. You just couldn't keep it in your pants. All right, we'll be right back, you bigot.
Tonight, after an all-new Fall Guy, there's a man on the mean streets of West South Florida who won't put up with his lady being hassled.
I don't like my lady being hassled.
I said that. And when it comes to keeping cars on the street, this guy takes matters into his own hands.
The car just could not pull into the driveway. I had to park on the street.
Mike O'Mara is on the case, and he lives life on his own terms.
We all control the street.
It's the O'Mara Files. Watch it along with the Mike O'Mara Show on your favorite platform, YouTube, Instagram, and at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And remember,
I love cigars. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jim Amato. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Legacy Box. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. So many memories are one in a million. Wouldn't you love to enjoy them and pass them down to future generations? Ensuring that your family's legacy is digitally preserved and shared, it's just as important is creating these memories. Legacy Box recently surpassed 1 million customers, and in celebration of this milestone, Legacy Box is now offering 50% off for our listeners. Get started preserving the moments that have stood out in your life today. Legacy Box is something you can order in minutes and enjoy forever, just like we did. Yes, and that's right. Thank you very much.
There's a memory that's calling
your endorsements.
There's a memory. That's a memory. Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, appreciate it, Spam Risk.
Love Spam that. Risk.
Anyway, I have amazing film of my parents from the 1950s.
So cool.
Literally, my father took an 8mm camera that he took from his company, and they filmed their honeymoon back in the 50s. Super, super cool, and lots of smoking. Rob can watch his kids grow up right before his very eyes.
So awesome.
And the process from start to finish is so easy. All you have to do is enjoy. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to join more than a million other families who've used Legacy Box for just a fraction of the regular price. Take advantage of 50% off today and send in your Legacy Box whenever you're ready. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS and save 50% while supplies last. Welcome back to the show. Yes, very, very fun weekend, and was really enjoying myself, and I like it. I enjoy Masters weekend. This is when it should be, in the spring. And, breaking my booze fast was a very special evening as well.
A whistle pig old fashioned is, it doesn't get much better than that.
There's a secret ingredient that made this beverage for our, and you know, we come from a long line of alcoholics, and, I'm proud of my heritage. And I should say this, that in our listening audience, I know there are people out there that enjoy an adult beverage, mm-hmm. especially a craft cocktail.
Yes.
And I will tell you, there was a secret ingredient in this particular. What is the give me the base recipe for an old fashioned, Rob, because I know you are the king of them.
The base is, and I stray a little bit, but what happens is you normally take an orange peel, a maraschino cherry, a sugar cube, and Angostura bitters, and you muddle it.
Right.
And then you bring that to almost like a syrup. Some people add a few drops of water. Some people add a few drops of club soda. And then you pour that, mix it with ice and your base liquor, often a bourbon or a rye, or in your case, Whistlepig. I love Crown.
That's shake, a rye. I think Whistlepig's a rye.
And then shake, stir over ice. I will muddle with a cherry, but then I add an additional cherry because I like a cherry. So I don't want it to be all beat up.
All right. So this one was phenomenal. Had the little orange peel in it.
Yeah, you need that.
It had the Whistlepig, good booze in it. Mm-hmm. It had Angostura. Is that the correct Angostura, pronunciation?
And also, clarification, I also serve with an additional orange peel, not the muddled one, too. Because what happens is you get that...
This was served with an additional orange peel.
That orange oil in the rind is actually part of the fragrance that helps it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they had the bitters. They had a little simple syrup in it.
That's in place of a sugar cube because it mixes cleaner.
And they threw one other ingredient that took it to a different olive? Level. No.
No, gross.
I'm joking.
Olive, be nasty. Aperol.
Really?
Aperol, and it sang.
So that's
it
sort sang, of like, I'm sang, trying to think, sang, it's like sang, a sour sang. Berry sort of essence, right?
It's a, like, yeah, it's like an orangey kind of Aperol is a berry
know what an
orangey.
Aperol is.
Yeah.
Let me look up Aperol.
Yeah.
I'll look up Aperol.
Well, the Aperol Spritz exactly was it. Something that Mike drank at a Christmas party once. I remember
that's
that.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Aperol.
Is
I will
it a
tell
tang?
You in just a second.
It is it's a, I think it's technically.
It's an aperitif.
And a cordial.
Yeah. What is that?
Aperol is an Italian bitter aperitif made of
olives,
gentian, rhubarb, and cinchora.
Mm.
God, I didn't know it was that.
Rhubarb it looks like red celery, and it's extraordinarily sour. Americans in the South use it a lot of times in pie.
Yeah, the name comes from the French slang word for aperitif, which is Aperol. So it's Aperol, and it's got a bright orange hue.
They couldn't have used much in it because it would overpower the drink. Mm-hmm. Could you still taste the essence of the rye?
You know, I find myself drifting now and thinking about listeners that are listening to us that are not golf fans and not alcoholics, and this might be a very sad show for them. I'm really sorry about that.
No, my people that have quit and still enjoy hearing about the shenanigans.
Yeah, you know, years after
had a month.
Years after my grandfather stopped smoking, still loved to hang around smokers because he loved the smell of it, even though he quit.
I spilled all over myself.
And
I just
drunkard.
Completely spilled out.
Look at you, sloppy drunk.
Yeah, I don't know. I was fun. And a very quick weekend. The weekend just flew by.
Zoom, yeah.
Before long, it was gone. moving right along, I do want to say something, if I can, about the vaccines that people are out there getting right
now.
All right? There is down here, what I'm hearing more than anything else is I'm hearing person after person after person making comments about the reaction of a second vaccine.
Right.
There was somebody over the weekend I overheard discussing this person that had been down for the count, as they like to say, for a few days.
No.
After getting the second vaccine. Look, I don't know whether it's true or not, but as Jimmy Kimmel had on this show when we played his clip saying, you know, the alternative, well, you're not feeling well for a day or so, well, you're not going to feel well for a year or so or maybe die if you get the COVID. So if you're out there and you're thinking because, oh, I might have a little soreness in my arm or I might have a fever and flu-like symptoms for 24 hours, you're supposed to have that reaction occasionally. It's not that you're going to get sick. Your body is fighting the thing.
Mike, if I could clarify, if I'm reading you correctly, you don't want this to be a deterrent. Yes,
right.
It may happen, but if it does happen, the 1 to 2 days that you feel like, you know, garbage,
if that
is nothing compared to a true infection.
I heard that one of the side effects of the second vaccine, particularly the Pfizer vaccine, is winning the club championship.
I didn't have any pain.
You didn't have any side effects at all?
I had no side effects. Now, and I know people that have mild, and I know people that have, felt a little crappy. But the bottom line is, it's not like it's an unknown deal to have these side effects. And if people are really getting the first vaccine and thinking twice about getting the second one because they don't want to feel rough? Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. And this is just another obstacle. Did you ever think that if we had a life-threatening virus that was out there killing well over 500,000 people in the United States?
Literally every 100 years, something like this happens.
And then miraculously, you would have a vaccine
in nine months. 9 months when they did
just
it.
Medical miracle what it was essentially. And then I understand always the anti-vax fraction of people, but it would be this many people that would be for a variety of reasons poo-pooing this vaccine. It's mind-boggling to me.
If they're using it as a way to couch, yeah, we got the vaccines, but they're not perfect, then I think that's misguided. Yeah, we got the vaccine.
I don't understand what you mean by that. I'm kind of confused.
The only way I look at it is there are people that say, look, I had a rough second shot. Just a heads up, like almost like a not a caution, but like to a friend to say, hey, the second shot may be rough or just plan for that. That's one thing. That's
yeah, but a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people say, oh my God, that second shot knocked me on my ass.
Yes, yes.
You if know that's what I mean? It's done, like, who cares? So what?
If that's being done in a way to deter people from getting the second shot,
which it is,
then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, that is. Yeah. That's what I'm. That is a big problem. Now, look, I think that overall, that when we're all set, when everything's said and done, that the statistics are going to be okay. I think the majority of Americans are going to get this done. Hopefully, a majority that results in herd immunity for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But
every person still, that gets the shot advances us to the final goal.
So it's just, but when you hear that, I don't get people anymore. I don't know what's wrong with, I don't understand.
I'll give it to you this way. It's just my personal experience. My mom had the second shot and she was fine. My sister got a second shot, same vaccine, Moderna, and she said that it was rough for 24 hours.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. And
if you're going to get any, any kind of reaction, you're going to get it for 24 hours.
My mom got Pfizer and only felt chills and feverish. And she said you could set a clock by it. 4 hours. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just 4 hours.
Okay.
And that was fine.
All right.
And nothing for Carrie, and she had Pfizer.
But so. When you're mm-hmm. having that conversation with the context of, man, you might want to look out for that second shot. Like, don't get the second shot. That's irresponsible.
Mm. That's irresponsible. Okay, well, I want to urge everybody to do it. I'm fully vaccinated. Rob's going to, in a little later in the show, talk about his vaccine debacle.
Because
that would piss me off. But anyway.
It had been great rolling into that moment. It was really good.
Yeah, life was good. I've got a lot of questions for you about that, just to find out how they're rolling up there, because I don't think you know all the details, but we'll do that. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about Rob and once again, that little black cloud floating over his head as he goes through his daily life. And more fun and more thrills coming up right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa, everybody.
Hello, fans, coming to you live. It's the O'Mara Wrestling Federation in our main event match. The Bolivian Butcher squares off against his most dominant opponent to date. In the steel cage, it's Oscar Santana versus the English Language.
I might have clarified this in the past, but you said manila envelope. I thought they were vanilla envelopes.
You are so stupid.
Seriously, you thought it was vanilla envelopes?
Because I'm like vanilla cups.
English may be his second language, but he's going to need first aid after that beatdown.
And with my brother and myself.
You don't need to say myself.
What the hell are you
because you went
say?
From an object to a subject.
Oh.
Santana sure took a beating here tonight, but don't miss his commentary and opinions every Friday on TMOS. It's No Holds Barred on Oscar's Take. Tune in next week and see the brawl for it all. The one-man mob, Rob Spiewak, takes on diabetes in a winner-takes-foot match. Don't miss it, brother.
That's awesome. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by a new client. I want to welcome Calm to the Mike O'Mara Show. First, the bad news. The world is full of uncertainty that might leave you feeling stressed or anxious. You think? Want the good news? You can navigate change. You can feel more relaxed. And quiet your mind with Calm. This is fascinating. Listen to me. I think you're going to really get a kick out of this, and I think it's going to help you.
Yeah.
We're proud to be partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Clear your head with guided daily meditations, improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. You're really going to love this. And if you go to calm.com/TMOS, you get a limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming and new content is added every week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds, sleep more, stress less, live bitter with Calm, live better. Consider this as your mental health checkpoint.
Yes.
It's okay to help sometimes, and Calm can provide support. You have to give it a try. For listeners of our show, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off at calm.com/TMOS. Go to calm.com/TMOS for 40% off, unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/TMOS, and we thank you.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
Yes, it is. We'll talk about Rob's thing when we come back this. But Prince Harry arrived in the UK yesterday, 2 days after the death of his grandfather. Prince Philip passed away on Friday at 99. We talked about that. Meghan Markle did not make the trip, but it's not a snub. Meghan is expecting her second child, and her doctor advised her against traveling. Do you believe that?
Nope.
I'm asking. No, nope. I don't either. I think it's a scam. No way. No. Isn't she early in the pregnancy? Isn't she?
I believe so. Yeah,
whatever. Mm. Anyway, Philip's funeral is set for next Saturday at 3 p.m. local time, which is 10 a.m. Eastern. Set your clocks, Anglophiles.
gotta be tough for that Prince Harry and Meghan, because like, damn it. Now we got to go see the family. Well, I got to go see the family. You're staying here.
Oh, it's got to be awkward. It's got to be weird, I would think. Philip married Queen Elizabeth II in 1947. In addition to her, he is survived by 4 children, 8 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren.
Meghan Markle was quoted as saying, "Well, we had the spotlight on us for a while, but they took it back."
You really think so? You don't like her, do you?
No, I don't. I don't think you're a fan
of hers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's Rob. During a virtual presentation about the opening of Disney Parks, you're going to like this, boys.
Okay.
Both of you. An exec showed off a lightsaber. He turned it on and said, quote, "It's real." Then the video ended. A reporter who was in attendance said, quote, "The way the light activated from the hilt..."
I got a good look at the hilt.
Was similar to how lightsabers activate in the Star Wars films. Hey, good pull. Later in the day, a Disney creative boss said, quote, a lot of questions today about whether the lightsaber that was revealed today was the real deal or CGI, and whether I'd share photos or video. Yes, it was, is really real. And not yet.
Hey, Disney.
I'm not buying it.
No word where, when, or how this thing is going to be used, but since it was unveiled during a presentation on the Disney parks, maybe it'll be something you actually get to play with. Mm. Use hand sanitizer. Which would suggest that while they turn on and off like the ones in the movies, they probably won't cut you in half.
More elegant than a phaser.
But even I was kind of curious about that. You know, can you play that sound again? Where you can press a button and you could hear this? Let me hear that. It's like...
It went away. I'll have it in one moment. But the thing is, I can't see the notion of it being isolated like that, like the laser being, because a laser, it's essentially a laser, right?
Just find the thing.
It's essentially a laser.
Oh, there we go.
And
there
it is. A laser doesn't stop. So it would be like a lightsaber that went on to infinity and beyond.
Wanted you to push the button. All right. Janet Jackson's Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction was all Justin Timberlake's idea because he wanted to one-up Britney Spears. That's according to stylist Wayne Scott Lucas, who helped Janet get ready for the 2004 halftime show, a show that changed what I did and what a lot of people did. He says Justin wanted to upstage Britney, Madonna, and Christina Aguilera after they just made headlines a few months earlier by making out at the VMAs. The original ideas was for Janet to be wearing a dress and Justin would step on the back of the dress, pulling it off to reveal Janet wearing nothing but a pearl G-string underneath. But for whatever reason, they changed the plan and went with the nipple reveal instead. Wayne says, quote, "I wouldn't call it a wardrobe malfunction in a million years." Why am I giving him this voice?
Does he work at Disney?
It was the most fast-functioning wardrobe in history. As a stylist, it did what it was intended to do. So, there's that. So, yeah,
it's nice to hear that what we thought was true, that they did it on purpose, and they weren't victims of, you know, a wardrobe malfunction.
Right. It was not a wardrobe. It was planned.
And the fact that the way television covered it always made me think the director was in on it, because you saw it for one-third of a second. Which should have been a much longer shot. So would they knew what was coulda, coming up.
Shoulda. I think it's... But it did change broadcast. It did. Especially shock jocks.
How
and what
did
we
radio
did.
The get the rough part of all of this? Like the broadcast.
Remember, we were made to listen to the broadcast executives testifying before Congress. Mm-hmm. That's when I really became aware, because you only become aware of what these people do in Congress when you're on the receiving end of it.
It turned Todd Moore into a government-hating individual.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can get that. I understand the way that works, because what it is they each get 5 minutes to bloviate and just talk about how horrible you are and how great they are and how horrible this is. And nothing really gets done, but you listen to that. And that was the first time I became really aware of how that works, because they were all up there making speeches. And it was very weird about censorship and the way we should
values.
Be controlled and mm-hmm. family values. It's a difficult time for broadcasters. And it may have started the whole thing of cancel culture, too.
Probably.
That seems to be
so. Like the roots are there.
Do you ever escape the constant dings and beeps by putting your phone on mute? Well, I should. And this is incidentally why I was told over the weekend I'll be calling you by my wife. And she said, unmute it. And I never unmute it. I have it on mute all the time. And it's because it rings when I come in here if it's unmuted. Mm-hmm. That's the way that works. So I like to have it on mute. Over 13,000 people were polled, and quite a few of us leave our phones on mute now. 11%, or 1 in 9 people, say they always keep their phones on silent or vibrate. And another 16% usually do. Around 1 in 5 people say it's pretty even, and their phone is muted about half the time. 26% say they never mute their phone, and another 24% rarely do. So half of us still have our ringer on most of the time. But muting your phone might be trending. Young people were 4 times as likely as older people to say they are always on mute. I keep mine on mute most of the time.
I do it during the show and try to remember to turn it off. But I'll tell you one thing that drives me crazy on the newest iPhone upgrade. If it's silenced, it says silence mode on. Or silence mode on. And it's counterintuitive to me. I would think if anything is on, that would mean it would ring. But if silent mode is on, it's not ringing. So I think they're messing with my head.
Yeah.
There are so many solutions to this. You could program your phone to be muted for a certain amount of time during the show, for example. And the only way someone could break through, and you could program it with the back, and I can teach you, Mike, is if someone calls twice, and then they can break through the mute. Because that means it's an emergency.
About 10 years ago, I came to Todd Moore with the idea of this, of the programmable silence for a period of time. And he said, that's impossible. The iPhone won't support it. Get away with your bad app idea.
And now they do it?
Yeah.
Well, no, because iOS wouldn't give you, Apple wouldn't give you access to that side of the phone. They're doing it themselves.
Yeah, but he still made me feel stupid.
Yeah, I mean, but you thought, design it so that you can control
a period of time during the show. I called it movie mute. Because you want to mute your phone when you go into a movie, but then you forget when you come out of the movie to turn it back on.
Okay. Well, maybe that's why he poo-pooed it, because it was too narrow, the description of it. Maybe he couldn't get by that.
Well, we see eye to eye on so many other things. I don't know why we couldn't have worked it out.
Mike, you can do that now. Yeah, it's built into the iOS.
I don't know. Does it require instructions and stuff like that?
Do it.
You sure? I don't think I want to do it. I just don't think I want to even.
I don't want to
go there. Don't go there. I don't want to. All right, now a little something, something. Have you ever wanted to sit down to enjoy a meal with your cat? Steve? Bridges? Or your 17 cats? But you found yourself facing a problem. They don't like human food, and you're not willing to eat their cat food.
Right.
I can't believe we have an answer for you, but we do.
Okay, Shep.
We have an answer for you, Rob.
What's the answer, Shepard?
The people at Purina just released the Fancy Feast Petite Feast Cookbook. It is a cookbook for humans to make yourself meals that taste like different flavors of Fancy Feast cat food.
Ah!
Yummy, yummy in my tummy. So now you and your cat both can enjoy things like chicken and rice, which is one of the Fancy Feast meals. Yours will be a honey sriracha chicken with fried rice. Theirs will be cat food that includes
chicken,
rice, and gravy.
Meow.
The cookbook has 12 recipes that you can download for free from the Fancy Feast website. After 2 months of eating this way, you will also be able to completely bathe yourself using only your tongue. There it is. Thank you.
Does Fancy Feast, Mike, do they make fruit fritters?
Fruit fritters. Fancy Feast.
Fancy Feast chicken and rice, so you can eat what your cat's eating and then just go jump off a bridge, okay? Thank you very much. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills in the Mike O'Mara Show.
Drainage.
Oh, there
Drainage.
It is.
Drainage.
Yeah.
Eli, you boy. Here, if you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, and my straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. Did you think your song and dance and your superstition would help you, Eli? The only thing that will help you is the TMOA Shopping Center. Access them at MikeOMaraShow.com. Be part of the solution. They have milkshakes, Eli, and straws. And Eli, if you go to the medical section, there will be blood. I shop it up.
Thank you. I forgot what his name is, but that's
Daniel
cool.
Plainview.
Going. Oh well, I know good the actor's pull name. I make the
no,
character
Plainview.
Very nice. Oscar.
Plainview is his name.
Oh, you had his real name.
Yeah, Oscar had his character name.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Bad broadcast. Going to the post office is probably not how you want to spend your time. That's why I recommend mailing and shipping online at Stamps.com. Mm-hmm. Stamps.com allows you to mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters, ship packages, and pay a lot less with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. With Stamps.com, you get discounts of up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. It's no wonder that nearly 1 million small businesses already use Stamps.com. Just like
you.
Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with the promo code TMOS, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale and no long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, promo code TMOS, Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again and see why we like Stamps.com. Because as soon as you try it, you will as well. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We never got to Rob. I got out of place on the show because it's been that kind of morning. A little weird. Friday was a little weird. Monday's a little weird. Tuesday's going to be better. I promise, promise, promise.
Tuesday.
Anywho, you are scheduled for your second vax.
Well, when do you, I was
you're getting
you,
it remember, this week.
I was going Saturday, remember?
Oh,
2 days ago.
Saturday.
Remember, right. They said you need 4 weeks, and I gave them 4 weeks and 15 minutes, and I had an appointment scheduled for 12:15. And It really was exciting because there was 4 weeks leading up to it, and I said, you know what? It's going to feel so good to be, as you said, Mike, part of something bigger, part of the solution. You get that second vax in your arm, and you're good to go. And, you know, every other day, I'm clicking on my dashboard at the vax site and saying, ah, there it is. It's scheduled. It's great. And Friday night, things at the house.
I don't believe that.
What?
I just don't believe that you were doing that.
Checking my, confirming my appointment?
Like every other day.
A few times a week.
It's a month? It's a month of doing
4 weeks.
That?
But no, because remember, I had my other one canceled too.
Yeah,
so
he was
burned checking
so many times.
I was burned, right.
So is that the only way that you find out if it's been canceled?
Yeah, you check and you make sure it says scheduled and good to go, and you print out your QR, QR code, Oscar?
Yes.
And I've got that ready to go, tacked up to my bulletin board. And Friday night is good. Both kids are home. Julia, inexplicably, is cooking dinner. I said, this is fantastic. The dishwasher, she is empty. This is great. I make myself a drink. I'm listening to a record on my phonograph, and I'm sitting there, and Carrie comes in and says, you know, with your vacation coming up and with your dad still in Miami taking care of your Uncle Bruce's affairs, wouldn't it be nice if you went down? And so I said, yeah, but it's going to be a lengthy, lengthy drive. She said, you're going to be vaxxed. Your dad is vaxxed. Kathy's vaxxed. And look, I found you a flight. It's dirt cheap. You can't even drive this cheap. It's around, you know, it's the flights, they're giving them away. And
it's stunning.
when you think about that. I'm not urging people to to travel if you haven't been vaccinated, but I will tell you, they're giving away some stuff now.
It's amazing. I mean, I'm talking.
If you want to travel,
literally cheaper than
not out west.
No.
But not to the fun spots.
But literally cheaper than to buy the gas and tolls to drive to Fort Lauderdale and back. It's cheaper. Yeah. And she says, "Look, I found this for you from Dulles to Fort Lauderdale and back again. You can go down. You guys can visit. You haven't seen your dad in months and months and months. You can scatter Bruce's ashes together. It'd be a nice trip. Chance for you to get away." And I said, "And you should come." And she says, "No, I'm not going to fly to Florida to watch you and your dad watch West Side Story. I'm staying home." I said, "Okay, great." So she goes through and she brings her laptop in, finds a great, I mean, even the timing is perfect for this money. And she clicks buy, and at 8:48, I've got my ticket, and I call my dad. I said, "I'm going to come see you." He says, "Awesome, we'll pick you up at the airport. This is going to be great. We're all going to be vaccinated." My email bings at 9:08 p.m., 20 minutes
later. How long was that after you booked the flight?
20 minutes. 20 minutes. One-third of 1 hour.
Right.
Vaccination POD, the vaccination pod, closed on Saturday 4:10. This is a message from the Loudoun County Health Department. Due to unforeseen facility issues, the COVID-19 vaccination site will be closed on Saturday, April 10th, 2021. Your COVID vaccination appointment is canceled. We regret the late notice. Do ya?
Oh, my God. What the hell happened?
Any inconvenience. It started bouncing around. There's certain like Loudoun County housewives and, you know, neighborhood Facebook sites. It appears it was a plumbing issue at the vaccination pod, formerly Nordstrom, at Dulles Town Center. And every appointment had to be canceled that day.
Was it like storing the vaccine or something like that?
No, I think it was like maybe a small flood or something like that.
Well, somebody clogged up the shitter? Is that what happened?
Mop the joint up.
That was no real answer was ever... established, but they did reopen Saturday at 3. Obviously, no appointments at 3:15 or 3:30. Nothing available on Sunday. I was able to get one appointment on Tuesday. Tomorrow.
Oh, you got an appointment on Tuesday.
I did get one, but it is still so... My mood on Friday night, I went from this to dark... Other side.
Oh
of
my
the
God!
Other
I'd be devastated.
Other
by that.
Side
people
of the
would
river,
be devastated
Robert.
By that when Rob, you're not going to be. It because was, you're in the not only you get it on Saturday, you wait the right amount of days.
You're within
then when
the
you're
window.
Traveling, you're safe.
So it was.
I mean, to a degree, obviously.
Yeah, it's. You know. I mean, I'm going to be playing it very, very safe for a long time. Still, you know, with the
still
masks
carrying
and all.
A little too much weight, but I mean, you're safe from the.
Yeah, but
COVID.
Mike, that even predates February. Believe it
this
or not.
This is true.
I was heavy. I was heavy before COVID.
I'm not going to even tell you how I ate anyway. So you're going to get it Tuesday?
So
you're going to be all right?
Sneak out of here on Tuesday with Oscar's approval and get it done.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with it. You know what? I want to tease this because we don't have time to really dive in. But I want to at least open the door about Oscar because there was a lot going on Monday when we come in here. And I rarely get through an entire show. But I didn't want to completely shut the door on this because I wanted to talk about it further.
Right.
So we will start today and then we will perhaps continue during the week to discuss this because I didn't realize that. You make veiled references to your libido occasionally on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you rarely come in and come up with a statement you had before the show. Did you not say that you do not believe your wife is as attracted to you as she once was?
Oh, yes.
Did you come out and say
confirmed.
That before the show?
Yeah. And I stand by that statement.
And he was specific. He said
There was a moment where it hit me where I was like, oh, my God.
Your attractiveness can be, there's a correlation between now and pre-COVID, right?
That was Yeah. And look, I don't want to be the guy that's on here and talks about weight gain when it's just, you know, something that everybody deals with, and especially during COVID. But for me, for a guy that's usually weighing 175, 180 on a bad week, on average, to go to 210, that's a big effing deal. It's life changing.
Percentage wise, is huge.
By the way, 210 would be life changing for me too, just not in the same direction.
Yeah, yeah.
210 for me would be I would have some sort of party. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I really would.
The last time I saw 210, it was the upper number of my blood pressure.
God. I don't want people. Wow. I don't want to be the.
I'm tired. It's tough.
I don't want to be the guy that comes out here and says, "Oh my God, I'm so fat." It's not about that. It's where you were and where you are.
Right.
That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. I think you're still lovable.
Of course, but Mike, there was a way where there was a time when I knew that my wife was still into me. Like, didn't matter, like, gained a few pounds, didn't matter certain things. It was like, she was still into me. This past Sunday, it was confirmed that she's not into me the way she used to be into me before the pandemic. And all you have to do, and I'll just tease you with this, is have enough confidence, because you could have the wrong type of confidence, to say, I'm going to work out shirtless. And then see the way your wife responds to you.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So you were on her Peloton?
I was on her Peloton.
More like Peloton, am I right?
Peloton. So let me ask you this. All right, I have to ask these questions before we go to break. We will bring it up tomorrow.
Yes.
I want to say, because I hopefully you will address it to a degree.
Please.
First of all, have you addressed it at all to your bride? Have you brought it up with her?
No.
Okay, good.
Thought about
well,
it.
Well, maybe
a lot
you should.
To myself.
So when you chose in your own domicile to get on the exercise equipment sans shirt.
Yes.
Did you do that? I'm the Peloton. Yeah. On the two tons of Peloton. Okay, thank you. When you did that, did you think that, were you accustomed to when she would see you in a state of undress that she would show interest?
Oh, yes.
In your life.
Yeah, sure. Yes, okay. Yes, yes. Not so much during the pandemic, but before, yes.
But before, that would be, you know, because we all have things that we do.
Like, oh, my wife's into this.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess most of us do. Maybe two thirds.
No, I'm in a bit of a patch myself lately. Yeah. I'm not going to beg.
Yeah.
Anyhow, this is why I said we'd tease it today and then we can do. Fair. We can do the opening tomorrow on it
because Mike, we could do a mini series.
We could do a mini, but the so are you in any way able to describe the vibe that she gave off when she walked by you as you were working hard, working out, mm-hmm. trying to make yourself better? Mm-hmm. There just was, you were looking for a little something. Obviously, you didn't get.
Well, there is. If anyone that's ever been to a spin class or even seen the commercials online, there is a type of. Attitude you have when you're on those bikes, and the people that usually are the women that go in sports bras, or even when you're in the class, or the guys who take off their shirts, or in some state of undress, as I like to call it, are the guys and girls who are in phenomenal shape. They're just not messy, for lack of a better term, out of shape.
Right. I could say something really filthy right now. But it would be highly inappropriate.
You want to text it?
All right. Let me, I'll text it to you guys.
Yes. All
and
right.
We're running a little late now,
That's
but I will text it to you. And then, all right.
So all right. Those people are full of confidence and they deserve it. Like,
there's no weird overlap of a guy wearing a sports bra, right?
I'll take it.
You would? Okay.
You still got to show your midsection.
Sure. Right on.
So, know this, that going into this workout, my wife and I had taken, I would say, a 2-hour hike. So it was a wonderful morning full of, like, thanks for getting us up on a Sunday morning. Thanks for taking us on a hike. And now I can't believe you're going to get on that bike and work out. That's what I felt she was like. She was vibing on. She's like, look at you trying to change your life right away.
Right on. Mike, I agree.
I just saw your text.
That's best kept as a narrow cast.
But hilarious.
Okay. Yes.
All right,
but
it's
hilarious. But it's
damn it, I wanted
perfect.
To say it.
It's perfect.
The answer is yes, Mike.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. So hot you want to smell the seat. There,
no,
I said it.
No,
I'm sorry.
No. Who would say that?
Who would say that? That's disgusting.
Bury
especially
that.
For the guys.
Let's bury that. Maybe I'm inappropriate. It's inappropriate Monday. I'm sorry.
My favorite series.
For men and women.
Yes. Yeah. For this bike, it's just my wife and I in our home. That's it. And the response I got was so off-putting to me.
So Poland.
And I'll share what she said tomorrow.
Oh, a teaser.
That it shook me to my core. And to this point, like I'm still thinking about it.
That's a good tease. Still we can take a break. Him. Wow, that's amazing. And then we'll, you know, piggyback on that, and we'll discuss all of our levels of interest with our significant others. Mm-hmm. All right, go work out. Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break, and we will come back with the digital dumpster.
Double D.
Right here. So I shouldn't have said it. Well, sorry, but we'll be right back.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, gruyere, asiago, gorgonzola, havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, fontina, pecorino romano, and buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese, only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Absent. Madeline, we'll get to the commercial in just a second here, but Madeline, it's always been my experience when you work for a broadcast operation where there is the chance of travel derailing your first day back at work, it might be a good idea to make those travel plans for the Saturday and not the Sunday. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Spring is here, yes. And you better get your lawn back on track. I already have, and it was a snap thanks to Sunday. Sunday is more than a lawn care product. It's a customized lawn plan that works with nature. They take out all of the guesswork and unwanted chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for everybody. I just went to GetSunday.com, put in my home address, and their free lawn analysis tool took care of the rest. Mm-hmm. Sunday sends a tailored nutrient plan right to your door just when you need it. I just took delivery of my second treatment this season. So easy.
Piece of cake.
All I had to do was attach the ready-to-use pouch and a garden hose and spray. Lawn care used to take up a whole day. Now it takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, this stuff really works. My grass already looks better. You're going to love Sunday. Let them take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/TMOS to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom lawn plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS. Welcome back to the show as we open up the dumpster right here.
Here it goes.
Take it away, Rob. Free wagon. We'll get to our sex lives tomorrow at the opening of the show. Good reason to tune in for Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen.
So, Mike, you mentioned the passing of the prince, but you did not mention the passing of Earl Simmons.
Yeah, that was a long time, right? Last week he got sick and
on
then
Friday,
he passed on Friday,
age 50. DMX passed away. And I just 50. Hope they don't schedule the funerals on the same day because of all the overlap. I know a lot of people are going to want to go to both services.
Rob, mm-hmm. How dare you?
Hey, if you don't laugh, you cry, Oscar.
You weren't a DMX fan?
No, I like actually his hits. Yeah, I do. I thought they were well-made records. This one I love.
Up in here. Iconic would be the word I would use for this music.
Yeah, I agree.
As a young man, this was the anthem to my childhood. It was, you'd hear, DMX was a staple.
Yeah.
And well, to hear
do
me,
we know what drugs were in his system? Because they said it was an overdose.
This is a world of I guess he's battled addiction his entire life, which it wasn't really top of mind when I was initially reading the story. But the idea that he passed at such a young age still blows my mind.
Yeah, still had good work to do. Mm-hmm. And I always get curious whether there was any fentanyl involved because I know that substance has touched my life and my daughter's life, certainly. And you always worry about. So that's why I'm always curious about that, because it's just such a goddamn shame when somebody goes too early because they haven't gotten a handle on their addiction. And it's very, very sad. And you just always wish it would be different. But you know, for people that are close to him in these situations, sometimes there's just nothing you can do about it. And, you know, it's not like it's unusual. Somebody, dying of an overdose. It's horrible.
Mike, do you still take most of your news from KTVE El Dorado, Arkansas?
Oh, they are so good. I get all my Arkansas news from what is it?
It's KTVE.
KTVE, yeah.
K-tiv. And do you still like weatherman Jared Floyd?
Jared Floyd is the gold standard as weathermen go.
Gold standard. So he got pissed over the weekend because they were getting a lot of complaints on the station that they kept interrupting programming for severe weather warnings.
And was it the Masters that they were interviewing?
I don't think so. I think it was just regular scheduled programming. Oh, and people were upset, and he yelled at his listeners.
We're already getting folks that are emailing and calling because we're in the middle of programming, saying if they wanted to watch the weather, they would turn it to another channel. As long as there is a warning in effect for our area, we're going to be on TV. Because if it was your area that was under a tornado warning right now, you would want us on the air informing you. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to stay on the television. And we've warned folks that, yes, programming is being interrupted, and it stinks. And you know what? We can watch that tomorrow. But we've had this same area just get hit by an EF1 tornado.
And another thing!
I'm with him. I back him up 1,000%.
I do too, but do you think? I don't think he needs to address the complaints. I think he can just do it.
Well, that's a frustrated man right there. He's like, hey, I'm trying to help you here, and you're worried
about why not? You know me, not bitching, I'm not breathing. I'm all for it. Get on there and go, hey, for Mrs. Sadie Smorgan Tucker in Fayetteville, lick my bag. I'm trying to save lives here, lady. Who cares if you're so proper?
Get off my back.
I give them the brickbats when they deserve them, but kudos to Saturday Night Live for putting together a pretty funny episode this weekend. My favorite thing was Bowen Yang.
You give them the brickbats.
Yeah, brickbats. Kudos to brickbats.
Are we in 1953?
If you were to look, and the opposite of kudos is brickbats. Kudos and brickbats.
I'll have to look that up.
But anyway, kudos this week to Saturday Night Live. A lot of funny sketches, an exceptional weekend update that featured Bowen Yang as the iceberg that sunk the Titanic. Mike, it's worth looking at online. It's quite funny. But when I insult them, I still try to find a joke. It was easy to find a good joke this week. I like this. Did you know they have sold the bed and breakfast they're turning into a bed and breakfast, forgive me, the house where Lizzie Borden killed her parents.
The house where Lizzie Borden murdered her parents has been sold for $2 million and will be turned into a bed and breakfast. Though a bed and breakfast where a murder happened is pretty much just a day's in.
It was a good episode this week. I really liked it.
It's a good line. Very good line. I like that.
Mike, her name is Rebecca Roberts. And she lives in the United Kingdom. And she has a medical phenomenon going on with her that it was called, I've never heard of this, superfetation twins, in which separate, I guess, sessions of lovemaking result in two different eggs being fertilized at different times. So she gave birth to twins that were actually 3 weeks apart. Because there was a second egg still in utero while she was already pregnant.
These twins are superfetation twins, which basically means I was pregnant with Noah, and then I got pregnant with Rosalie a bit later on. That's why there's 3 weeks difference between them. It was absolutely amazing. Never even knew that kind of thing existed. So I went home, I Googled it, and you know, there's hardly anything out there at all. We are the 14th case documented, which is fantastic. We love it. We love having special twins.
And I say this to Mr. Roberts.
Second child's more tender.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was cooked longer. Inappropriate things?
I think you're fine. I think you're fine.
Okay. Same right. Fathers?
Yeah. And I say to that guy, Mr. Roberts.
That's funny.
Quit climbing on her. Leave her alone for once.
She sounds lovely.
She's fine.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Thank you.
Speaking of the British, Mike, what if The Simpsons was a British cartoon?
Ah, Bartholomew. Out for another day of whimsical japes.
Do not have a cow, Father.
No, we no longer have a cow, but we still have our pride.
Do we, Father? Homer, the wind's got to hear the yon statue of Winston Churchill.
Why, you diminutive... Well, Marjorie, the boy is dead. Eat your flag. The Simpsons.
Just a little darker. Yeah. I like that they call it The Simpsons.
The Simpsons. Simpsons. Probably a good joke for like 30 years ago, too.
Well, I mean, it's still on TV.
I mean, I just think, right? I mean, The Simpsons has been around for so long, and it's kind of cute. I don't know why that didn't hit with me. I don't get it.
Probably all the hype. I don't know. I loved it growing up because, that was what we had, right? It was right there.
Mike, we talked earlier about Will Zalatori. He's 24. He's the rookie that was sort of the talk of the Masters.
Got to weigh like 145 or something.
If that. But a lot of people were talking effective Friday on the social media that he looked like the kid that caddied for Happy Gilmore. I don't know if you remember back to Happy Gilmore.
So true. And a lot of people have said Owen Wilson, too.
And, he looks like Owen Wilson. To a point where even Adam Sandler posted on Twitter wishing good luck to his caddy. But here's the here is the scene from Happy Gilmore where he meets his caddy.
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. No. Let me carry these, all right? They're my grandfather's. They're pretty old.
Well, what should I do then?
I don't know. Why don't you just watch me and make sure I don't do anything stupid, okay?
Mr. Gilmore and Mr. Lafferty will be teeing off now.
All right. Good luck, buddy.
Get out of the way.
Don't worry on that one.
But it's got to feel pretty good for that little shaver to finish up, you know, on the top leaderboard at the Masters and then know that Adam Sandler is tweeting about you. That's kind of neat.
It's a very great pace. Came in second, man. Yeah, this guy was on the mini tours a couple of years back. Good for him. And to weigh that much, I mean, really, strong wind. That is he makes Pony look fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one point when the champion actually went at him. He thought he was his 9-iron.
You're a very skinny guy.
We're talking small.
Hey, Judge, I don't think the heavy stuff's coming in for a while yet.
Okay, I watched this Twitter video about 14 times today. Have you ever seen or heard of the prank when you go to a drive-thru and right as they're about to hand you something, you beep your horn to make the McDonald's worker jump? Okay?
No, but I like it.
Okay. It works best if you got probably an American car with a louder horn. This McDonald's employee wasn't having any of it. So the guy was handing off his phone to do the Apple Pay thing, right? He beeps the horn. She flips the phone back and then throws his soda at him. I love this audio.
Throw one. You're not getting your drink. Go.
Oh, like really, yeah. Like threw it to soak him.
No lid on it. No lid. Let's have that again.
Throw one. You're not getting your drink. Go.
Good. Oh. Good. She's not working there anymore.
I do love
That's
it. I do
funny.
Love it. I think I'd give her a raise. And we close with this, Mike. A lot of people, as we talked about earlier, a lot of people are traveling. That means you're going to be going to a hotel, right?
Right.
A TikTok worker, a formal hotel worker, went viral with this short tape. Things to keep in mind when you stay in a hotel.
Most hotels don't wash their comforters. So before you go bundle yourself up like a taco in that thing, throw it on the ground and don't touch it. The front desk agents are more likely than that playing games on the computer, scrolling through social media, or watching Netflix. We have cameras everywhere. The hallways, the staircases, the pool. So we can see when you're doing weird things in the hallways or when you're in a fight with your partner. Most of us just aren't paid enough to care.
So don't wrap yourself up like a taco, Mike.
A taco.
That's the digital dumpster. Yeah. Close it
up. Don't pick it and eat it in the hallway. They can see it.
They always do.
Absolutely. That's the digital dumpster. Don't forget, remind me, tomorrow we lead.
With love.
With love.
Love.
We lead with love. That's it. We got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Pony Boy Matt Bloom and Matty Masiello somewhere here on the super slab of Route 95, because her plane got canceled because there were thunderstorms yesterday. And there were. Matty, we miss you. The show needs your energy. Come back soon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Soon.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
She wants a D, and she's going to get one.
It ain't over till it's over.
Oh, good for you!